You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are God's kids. We're His children. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If God is for us, and we've said this many times, who can be against us? So stop slouching. Straighten up. Recognize. That's what He's telling us. Straighten up.
If God is for us, who can be against us? Absolutely no one. Today, Pastor Dion teaches that even in uncertain times, God's presence remains steady and sure. He holds you close, and His promises are unshakable. No matter what you're facing, remember this truth. As a Christian, nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God. So stand tall, lift your head, and walk forward with confidence, knowing the one who is for you is greater than anything that comes against you. Now let's join Pastor Dion in the book of Revelation chapter 1 with today's edition of The Simple Truth.
Have you ever experienced a revelation, a bright idea, an illumination, a new understanding, a sudden awareness? Have you ever experienced that? See, when you see something for the first time that you'd never seen before, there's that, wow, I see it, I get it for the first time. We call that an aha moment. Well, guys, last week we discovered that this book, the book of Revelation, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Say His name, Jesus Christ. The word revelation means uncovered, unwrapped, unveiled. Something you hadn't seen before. Maybe when you took a first look at that particular frame, you hadn't seen Jesus. And then once you see it, once it's noticed, you can never look at the picture the same again, because you'll always see Jesus. Guys, this book is a record of John's aha moment. I mean, this is a record of it. John saw something he had not seen before. Jesus uncovered, unveiled something new to John. What is it? It's Jesus in a new light. Say it out loud. What? Jesus in a new light. Papa's got a brand new bag, if you remember the song. That's what John was seeing. He saw Jesus with a new look, a new ministry, a new objective. You see, before John even springs into this new image of Jesus, before he tells us what he saw, he reminds us of the old. John described Jesus' earthly ministry when he was here before in a nutshell. Here it is, verse 4, let's start reading. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So John basically says, hey, listen, I had an aha moment, and this book is basically the record of a revelation, something that Jesus disclosed to me. But he said, before I share with you what that new revelation is, what that aha moment is, he says, I want to write to you about what you're already aware of. He says, Jesus was a faithful witness. Yes, Jesus was a faithful preacher and teacher. He says, you already know that. He says, you also know that Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. He is a resurrected Savior. He is. And he says, and you already know that. He says, Jesus was a spiritual king. Jesus had power over sickness, over disease, over demons, over nature. In fact, I mean, he multiplied bread. He multiplied, he turned water into wine. He calmed storms. He had power over all earthly situations and kings. He says, and you already know that. And so, and John goes on and says, and all of us have experienced his love and forgiveness. He says, and so you've experienced his love and forgiveness. He cleaned our sin debt. He washed us clean and made us righteous. And he tells us that. He says, and all of us have experienced his transformation from sinners to saints. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. All the old things have, and all things have become. And that's what he says. You're kings and priests. You're no longer sinners that are destined for an eternal destruction. But now you are children, kings and priests. I love it. He says, and all of us have experienced, he's telling them, the seven spirits around the throne, which Jesus sent to us. Now, right there, some of you are thinking, are there seven Holy Spirits? No. Good question, but no. There are not seven Holy Spirits, but seven activities of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. And he says, and we've experienced it. In fact, Isaiah explains what those seven activities of the Holy Spirit are in our life. Here it is, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, 1. The Spirit of understanding, 3. The Spirit of counsel, 4. The Spirit of might, 5. The Spirit of knowledge, 6. Then the fear of the Lord, 7. Listen, we've all experienced Jesus Christ coming into our life, washing us clean. We've experienced him transforming our life, making us children, kings, and priests. And also we've experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because these men, these people, these churches, they had not only believed in Christ, but they had also had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And he says, and I'm telling you, I'm not telling you something you don't already know. I just want you to, before I share my aha moment, so that you see what I'm seeing. This was before. This is the Jesus we know. He says, we were all waiting for Jesus. We were all waiting for Jesus to fulfill his promise to come back for us. How many of you know he's coming back? We all do. And everybody did then as well. And he's saying, I'm reminding you. The Jesus is the one who saved us. He loved us. He forgave us. He filled us with his Spirit. He transformed our life. And he's coming back for us. Jesus promised that one day he would come and catch away all of the believers to be with him forever. It's called the rapture of the church, right? We'll be talking about that later on. But nevertheless, he's telling them, this is not something you don't know. This wasn't something I didn't know. I understood this. And John is saying, that was the full knowledge of Jesus that he had disclosed to us. That's all we knew. He is a teacher. He was a savior. He's a resurrected Christ. He's the one who loves us, who forgives us, who transforms us, who fills us with his Spirit. And he's the one who's going to come back for us. That's basically the Apostles' Creed. And he says, and we all believe that. That's the knowledge that we had. That's the understanding that we had of Christ. But John went on to say that he was doing, in all of that, he was doing his best to live a godly life. How many of you are doing your best to live a godly life in living the creed? Yeah. John was saying, I was doing the same thing. He was doing his best to stand straight and stand strong in faith. Here's what he says, verse 9. After he tells us, hey, I'm telling you everything you already know and I already knew, and what I was doing was trying to stand strong in this. Verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the, everybody say the word, and of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was living the creed. I was trying to live godly in an ungodly world. He says, I'm doing my best to stand straight and strong in faith. John is describing that he is in a posture. Have you ever experienced, or maybe you are experiencing frequent sciatica, backaches, headaches, pain in the neck, right? Are you thinking the reason is maybe from your immature spouse, right? They're just pain in the neck. You know, you think it's coming from your horrible boss or your defiant toddler or your rebellious teen. Or maybe, guys, are you blaming the pain that you're having, the headaches, the backaches, the pain in the neck? Are you blaming it on maybe the work that you do? Huh? Oh, it just gives me such a headache. I was reading a while back through an article of Johnson & Johnson Corporation. The Johnson & Johnson Corporation manufacture rectal thermometers. They do. And in the package, there is a little manual on how to use that particular rectal thermometer. And if you read it all the way down in very small letters on the bottom, it says, each rectal thermometer that Johnson & Johnson produces is personally tested and then sanitized. You think your job's a pain in the butt? So you might think it's your job that's giving you a backache, a neckache, a headache. You might think it's your job, guys, or maybe it's the bed that you sleep on or the shoes that you wear. You're blaming that. Well, Mayo Clinic says it's probably your posture. Most often our pain in the neck or stressed back is not from everyday circumstances. It comes from how we're standing in everyday circumstances. The Mayo Clinic had several suggestions for your physical posture. But here we just read, John shares some advice on our spiritual posture. Here's what he says, stop slouching. Now, there are a variety of things in life that can cause us to drop our head and drop our shoulders. I mean, whether it's being diagnosed with a serious illness, that'll drop your head and your shoulders. Maybe it's losing our job or separation and divorce or a prodigal child or a financial crisis or the death of a loved one. Maybe it's persecution or rejection or loneliness or fear or doubt or sin. These things can cause us to lose hope, to be discouraged, to be depressed, to slouch. Those kind of things make us slouch. Well, John here tells us that he understands and identifies with what we go through. He says, I'm your companion in tribulation. He's saying, I feel your pain. But he also says, but remember who you are in the kingdom. So he said this, straighten up. The Apostle Paul was transparent about the circumstances and attacks that he faced. He never tried to sugarcoat the persecution that Christians will endure. He never tried to sugarcoat it or the persecution that they're going to go through. In fact, he said this to Timothy, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will, there it is. He never sugarcoated. He said it's going to happen. Paul also wrote about his own personal hardships, things that tried to make him slouch. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's what it says. We have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We do not know what to do, but we stand strong and don't give up. We are persecuted, but God does not leave us. We are hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. When the circumstances around you escalate, When the storm and the chaos suddenly overwhelm you, straighten up. Stand strong. He says, because you are loved. Paul explained it like this to his congregation in Rome. Romans chapter 8. This I want you to read along with me. Here's what it says. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Everybody out loud? No. Despite all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are God's kids. We're His children. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If God is for us, and we've said this many times, who can be against us? So stop slouching. Straighten up. Recognize. That's what He's telling us. Straighten up. And here's the next one. Open up. Reach out. Come on. Just stretch out your arms. Don't worry about your neighbor. Go ahead. Reach out. Oh, just like that. There you go. Mayo Clinic suggests that if we want to better our posture, if we want to relieve some strain and tension, we should stretch out, open up our chest and arms. It looks like worship, doesn't it? And that's what John says he was doing. Let's read it, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Now, I want to pause right here. Here's what John has told us. I got an aha moment on the Isle of Patmos. I was awakened, alerted to something. I saw something I had never seen before. Jesus disclosed something to me. But before I share it with you, he says, I want you to remember who Jesus is. Because, I mean, I'm just going to show you the beginning and the new. And he says, so we know Jesus as teacher and preacher. We know him as Savior. We know him as a resurrected Christ. We know him as the one who has sent us and filled us with the Holy Spirit. We know him as the one who is going to come for us again in the clouds. We know that he's the one who loves us, who forgave us, who transformed us, who filled us with his Spirit. We know that he's the one who will come back in the clouds and catch us away. We know that. And he says, and guys, what we're doing in the middle of that is working on our posture. And the things that we have to do is stop slouching, not letting doubt or difficulty or discouragement or the hurts and the pains and the circumstances of life and the persecutions make us slouch. We have to straighten up. We have to straighten ourselves because we're God's kids. He's got our back. He is going to take care of us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we also have to open up and worship. That's the idea. I've got to open up so my posture is made better. I've got to open up. John was in prison in a labor camp, mining volcanic rock. He was sentenced to death for his faith. Yet John never let a Sunday, the Lord's day, he never let a Sunday go by without opening up and honoring the Lord. He never let one of those days go by without being in the Spirit. Now, being in the Spirit, guys, doesn't mean some mystical trance. When he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, it was not a mystical trance or a dream. It wasn't that he was out of reality. John was simply exercising a spiritual discipline. He was in the moment of worship. Everybody say, in the moment. He was in the moment. Guys, church should be a place where we are in the moment of spiritual focus and godly exercise. It should be the place where we're opening up. Church should be that. I'll say it again. Church should be a place where we are in the moment of spiritual focus and godly exercise. You see, it was on Sunday, the Lord's Day, that Jesus resurrected. And for a month of Sundays, before Jesus ascended to his Father, Jesus visited his disciples, or what we would call the early church. Yeah, if you didn't know that, Jesus resurrected from the dead. He stayed on earth 40 days. So a month of Sundays, and the scriptures talk about, he met with his disciples every Lord's Day, every Sunday, he came to where they were meeting. Isn't that pretty cool? So listen, guys. John tells us, in fact, in his gospel, he tells us what happened at one of those assemblies after Jesus is resurrected and he kept visiting them. John tells us what happened at one of those assemblies. Here it is, John chapter 20. Read it with me. Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said, and he spoke. He showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy. And when they saw the Lord again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I love it. Jesus wants his church, our gathering place, to be a place that we can worship and we can listen. And we can learn and we can grow. Jesus wants his church to be a place to refuel, to recharge, to revive. He wants it to be a place of revelation. Say it out loud. A place of what? Revelation. A place to come and hear and see and understand more about Jesus. He wants his church to be a place where we come and we can connect with him. The church is supposed to be a place of spiritual therapy to remedy our bad habits, our waddling spiritual walk, or our slouching posture. If your walk has been a little funny, you know, your spiritual walk with the Lord. If your spiritual walk has been a little funny, if your posture has been slouchy, you're in the right place. As we cling to the simple
Thanks for joining us today as Pastor Dion Cordova leads us in a study through the book of Revelation here on The Simple Truth. This program is an extension of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel in Española, New Mexico. In the book of Revelation, we learn about two witnesses who will preach the good news of Jesus in the city of Jerusalem during the last days. Even during the times of trial and tribulation, God will have his arms open to receive those who repent of their sins and accept Jesus' gift of forgiveness. But that window will eventually come to a close, and it'll be too late to accept that free gift. If you haven't accepted Jesus yet, would you consider doing so today? If you'd like someone to walk you through the process of entering into a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to talk to you. You can give us a call at 505-753-4363. Once again, that number is 505-753-4363. You can also connect with us online at tmcalvary.com and click on the Get Connected tab to find our email. If you're in Española, New Mexico, come join us in person for our Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services. You can stay connected to our podcast, too, by clicking the link at tmcalvary.com. Finally, if you'd like to help support the ministry of The Simple Truth, you can give a gift on our donation page at tmcalvary.com. Pastor Dion has more to share with us from God's Word, so we invite you to tune in again next time for another insightful edition of The Simple Truth.
fools for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together we stand.